A North Dakota tradition is over after the Norse Hustfest pulls the plug on future scheduling. The Cass County Sheriff's Office pulls the plug on funding for the F5 project after alleged financial irregularities emerge. Two retailers pull the plug on their retail space at West Acres Mall in Fargo after, well, we don't really know. President Trump pulls the plug on three hopefuls who thought they might be the next Fed chair after the president named his choice to take over. And federal agents pull the plug on Don Lemon's ability to break into more churches after arresting him on charges that he broke federal law a couple Sundays ago. Good morning, my friend. Good to be with you here on the Steve Alstrom Show on a sunny Friday. This has been a wonderful week. Lots of sunshine, light winds. Yes, it's cold, but I just love it. Looking outside, seeing the sun, it just makes you feel better. And if you need another reason to feel better about things, it is January 30th today, which means that the next time we get together on Monday, we will be into February. And we will have made it through the death march that is January in our part of the world. Busy and full show today, man. The daily news cycle just continues to give us haymaker after haymaker. There are big stories going on all over today. We've got a guest coming up as well today. Bridget Riedel will be here with us, our ag director. And Bridget always has very interesting things to tell us about what's going on in the ag community, our ag director here. And so she will be filling us in on some key storylines in the ag world coming up today about 10:30 or so. The president has decided who he wants to be the next chair of the Federal Reserve. I am trying to read different perspectives from different sides of the aisle on this to find out if this is considered someone who will have credibility with everybody, or if this is someone who people say, oh, he's just going to do what Trump wants and knock rates down. And from what I can tell, it seems like most people feel like this guy is a good candidate. And he obviously is going to be someone who looks for opportunities to see lower interest rates, but not at the risk of blowing inflation out the roof. So we'll talk a little bit more about that here today. Norsk Hustfest, a big tradition. I worked for a couple of years in Minot at KMOT-TV. I was a sports guy up there. My first real broadcasting job, and loved Minot. Still do. Wonderful town. The town took me in. A lot smaller town than it is back then than it is right now, but I loved being part of that town. It's beautiful out there. Some great scenery out there. It's a beautiful part of the world. And loved getting to know the people there. They took me in and had a lot of fun doing sports up there for KMOT. And Minot has turned out to be a kind of an extension of the oil patch. And when I grew out, or when I was out there, kind of growing up in my broadcast world, the Hustfest was the big deal, and people from all around the region came to Minot for the Hustfest at the state fairgrounds there. Well, no longer. They are calling it quits at the Hustfest. That's a crazy one, right there. So, and then the big story of the day: Don Lemon has been arrested. I have to admit, I said for a while, they say they're going to do something. I don't know, but they did it last night. Arrested him in a California restaurant. So mess with the bull, you get the horns. So we talk about that and a lot of other things here today on the show. 701-271-1100 is our phone number. That's the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. They've recently expanded. They can get you in fast. They now offer counseling, occupational therapy, physical therapy, nurse practitioner. Go to valleychristian.co, valleychristian.co, and you'll be able to schedule an appointment and get in real soon to get the help that you need. Good people over there. I'm coming to you from the Drive with Vision studio. Drivewithvision.com is a website for Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton. 15 minutes or less to buy a car, truck, or SUV, new or pre-owned. They know how to do it right there. All right, let's get to it here with the almanac for today. It is Friday, January 30th, 2026, and the Minnesota State High School Girls Softball Tournament was still won by a guy, and this will be true for a few more months, and then hopefully we change things up. We will gain today 2 minutes and 42 seconds of daylight today. Central time zone, we will see sunset at 5:27 today. In the markets, the market off to a slow start today. although the losses are not big. The Dow is off 121 points, S&P 500 down 12, and the NASDAQ is down 50. WTI crude oil today. Remember yesterday we told you that crude oil was going up. It's going up again today, up about 30 cents a barrel. We're at about $66 now on WTI crude oil. I think most people in the North Dakota legislature and maybe the economy, maybe the people in the industry would tell you 66 is not a bad place to be because there's revenue for the state. The oil companies can make money, but gas prices stay at a pretty good spot, which is a big deal too. So mid-60s, not a bad place to be. Gold and silver both down today. Gold down 6%. Silver, a massive drop. What's going on with these roller coaster rides in precious metals? We never used to see these things. Silver down 16 cents an ounce today at 98.17. And Bitcoin today continues to drop down $504 to 83,428, as low as that's been since late summer. So cryptocurrency's taken on the chin today. AAA says average price of a gallon of regular unleaded gas nationwide is $2.87. North Dakota price $2.52. South Dakota $2.60. Minnesota $2.63. Diesel fuel today at $3.60 a gallon. In the news today, Norsk Høstfest, the biggest celebration of Scandinavian culture in North America, is calling it quits. The forum reports that the board of directors made the announcement in a news release yesterday, citing rising expenses and lower attendance of the long-running event. A sad development, no doubt. It's one of those things that is kind of part of who we are, especially in Northwest North Dakota, where I spend a fair amount of time, and as I mentioned, lived there for a couple of years as well. Love the Høstfest, but getting harder and harder. It's not been easy lately. COVID got in the way. Epic was managing them for a while, and then that kind of fell by the wayside, and I don't know. People are just not feeling it with the Høstfest anymore. Likely an aging population having something to do with it. I don't know that the young kids go to Høstfest anymore. But sad story that I saw this morning getting ready for the show today. The forum reports that several businesses across Fargo-Moorhead are closing their doors today. I guess it's going to be every Friday. We're going to have one of these sit out of everything days because we hate Donald Trump. So we're going to have another ice out day showing resistance against federal law enforcement. And the forum has a story going through about five companies that are doing this. Apparently about a dozen overall are closing. Not all of them wanted to talk about it to the media. One of them, Rustica Eatery and Tavern in Moorhead. One of the owners, Anna Weisenberger, co-owner there, said, quote, "It's really not about somebody's wrong or somebody's right. It's more just about what we felt was necessary in the moment." So there you go. That's the thinking there. The Fargo-Moorhead metro area, according to the new Goldmark Commercial Real Estate Report, saw the amount of square footage leased for publicly listed retail property in Fargo-Moorhead dropped 43%. Last year compared to the year before. The forum with this story this morning. The survey is prepared every year by Goldmark's commercial real estate there. So a big drop in the amount of leased retail space in 2025. The vacancy rate downtown Fargo is now almost 20%. Usually you want that about 5. Valley News Live reports the Moorhead Area Public Schools and its teachers union have reached a tentative agreement on a 2-year contract following about 10 hours of mediation that will cover the 2025 through 2027 school year. So looks like there will be no teacher strike over in Moorhead. Federal agents have arrested Don Lemon after he broke into, I'll say, the headline I'm reading from Star Tribune says, covered a Minnesota church protest. He went in with the protesters in the middle of a service. He said, "I was not demonstrating. I was just reporting as a journalist." He was arrested last night in California after a local judge in Minnesota said he would not bring charges against Lemon, but federal charges are now coming his way. The forum reports that the Cass County Jails pulled out of a $200,000 grant arrangement with the F5 project that seeks to get felons on their feet after being released from incarceration. Jesse Johnner, the Cass County Sheriff, said that they are going to be redoing, rethinking a $205,000 grant as part of the Breaking the Cycle program because of alleged questionable financial activity, says the sheriff. And it looks like we're going to have another partial government shutdown. Looks like there's a lot of standoff going on in D.C. about these ICE matters. Those are the stories making headlines here today. Story of the day coming up next. Don Lemon has been arrested. I am an IPA guy. I enjoy a good IPA beer in the, in the late fall, winter, and spring. Then when I'm training for marathon time, I change it over to Coors Lights, but I do enjoy myself a good IPA, and I tried a great one yesterday from the people at Voodoo Ranger. They have put out a new flavor called the Sweet Ride Juicy IPA. You can taste a pineapple in there, a little pineapple, a little mandarin orange in there. And it definitely has a sweet taste to it. And I thought it was absolutely fantastic. You can get that around town. Anywhere that your favorite beers are sold. Beverage Wholesalers, my friends Randy and Donna over there are the distributors here in Fargo-Moorhead, West Fargo. And they always remind us when we're tipping back our favorite beverage, remember to salute and give thanks to those out here serving us, first responders, military, law enforcement, those who keep us safe. This message brought to you by Beverage Wholesalers in Fargo. Check out that Sweet Ride Juicy IPA. Good stuff. You're going to like that. I feel like a good hearty beer. You know you're drinking a beer when you put down one of those bad boys. All right, story of the day. CNN, former CNN anchor. I thought he was still on CNN. I guess he's not. Now he's, I guess, a freelance journalist, I guess, huh? Well, he was arrested late last night on charges that he violated federal law during a protest at a church in St. Paul, Minnesota. The case was rejected last week in Minnesota by a magistrate judge there, said there wasn't enough evidence there because he was just reporting as a journalist. He was not protesting. It reminds me a little bit of the January 6th story, and I have I've probably had an unpopular stance on this with a lot of people because I have said there has to be some justice for people that broke into the Capitol building, whether or not they realize what they were doing or not. You can't do that. You can't just, even if someone ahead of you broke in, broke the door or broke the window, you can't go in those things without having gone through the right security. You just can't do it. Now, these people shouldn't sit in jail for the rest of their lives, but there needs to be something as a punishment for that. That's only fair. This, to me, feels like exactly the same thing. If you feel like, you know, I'm going to report on this story of these protesters breaking in, you don't go in. You don't go in when someone is going into a place of worship and you are unwelcomed and you know that. You don't go in. You stand out on the steps and you say, yeah, hey, pastor, I'm trying to respect your boundaries here. You're doing your service. Can I talk to you? But no, he's right in there with the protesters. So Lemon has said the same thing. I was just doing my job as a journalist. The protesters, as you might remember, on January 18th interrupted the church service where an ICE official serves as a pastor, chanted, screamed, shouted, scared the kids there. The administration has charged 8 people now altogether on this, citing federal law that protects people seeking to participate in a service in a house of worship. Lemon is likely to challenge the case, as we would expect, by arguing that he was not protesting. He said in a recent video, once the protest started in the church, we did an act of journalism, which was to report on it and talk to the people involved, including the pastor, members of the church, and members of the organization. That's called journalism. A lawyer for Lemon says they will fight these charges vehemently. And if the Justice Department continues with, quote, a stunning and troubling effort to silence a journalist for doing his job, Don will call out their latest attack on the rule of law and fight any charges vigorously and thoroughly in court. Lemon is now an independent journalist, has his own YouTube show, says Star Tribune. He was pushed out of CNN in 2023 after 17 years at the cable network amid criticism that he made sexist comments about women and the elderly. Lemon has been a vocal critic of the president for quite some time. Look, I appreciate a good discussion and debate about is the right thing being done here. And I have to admit to you that I am biased in this story because I happen to be a believer, happen to believe that church is a sacred place. And I believe that to be true whether or not you are going to a Baptist church, a Jewish temple, a Muslim mosque. There are places that you shouldn't go. I don't know if Immigration, Customs Enforcement, Border Patrol, I don't know if they have gone into houses of worship to go after people. I don't know if that's happened or not. You may know better than me. But I would say that's wrong too. You wait for them when they come out, but you don't go in the middle. You don't. It's not. It's what makes our country, one of the things that makes it great, is that we do have this appreciation for religion and what it means to people. And you are free to practice whatever religion you want in this country. It's a vital freedom that we need to protect. Therefore, we need to protect the ability for people to come together and worship as well. Now, who would ever expect the far left to have any sense of decency at all about how you would do this? They come in screaming, shouting, probably the F word. I saw Ilhan Omar now. She put out a statement about this thing when the guy interrupted her squirting a syringe of apple cider vinegar on her. And she said, F you. But she didn't say F, right? She said the word. What is it with the liberals? They are addicted to the F word. My word, makes me never want to use the word again. Probably should make that something to do anyway. Hey, it's not often, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. What can I tell you? But I am having second thoughts about this whole thing. Like, if this is going to be the left's thing, we know about, you know, climate change, white Christian nationalists. We know they, like, redefine the language. If this is not going to be property of the left, I may have to make a point of this going forward just out of principle here. So anyway, there was all this going on in the church, screaming little kids in the pew, and church-going people on a Sunday morning, right? I mean, just people, humble, timid people, they're not going to get up and fight. It's like, what in the heck is going on here? So there needs to be a protection of the church and religious services on a Sunday morning. So there needs to be penalties here. Again, I don't think that these people have broken into the church should be in, you know, solitary confinement for 20 years. I don't. That's not right. But it's not right what they did, and there needs to be some kind of retribution or some sort of punishment for that. So that's story of the day. You can let me know what you think about that. Do you think it's ever right for law enforcement, protesters, whomever, to go into a church? Wonder what you think about that. 271-1100. I guess the other big story of the day is that President Trump has named Kevin Warsh as his nominee to succeed Jerome Powell. Been a heck of a story over the last year or so. The president has been an adversary, I mean a blatant adversary, to Jerome Powell. Says he's been a terrible Fed chair and has I think he kind of hoped he'd quit. He didn't do that. Now there's some charges against him for his role in the in some testimony about the Fed building, things like that. Anyway, the president said today that I've known Kevin for a long period of time, have no doubt he'll go down as one of the great Fed chairmen ever. Warsh, according to CNBC, likely will not ripple financial markets because of his past Fed experience and Wall Street's view that he will stand up to Donald Trump. He has the respect of the financial markets, said one guy on CNBC earlier today. There's nobody who was going to get this job who's not going to be cutting some rates in the short term, but I believe longer term he will be a credible candidate. So there you go on that. When we come back on the program, I've learned my lesson. Don't mess with the Lutherans. Two longtime tenants in the West Acres Mall in Fargo are closing. I love our mall here. I think it's been really well managed, well run, a lot of good variety there. Our mall is pretty healthy. I know the malls aren't doing it everywhere, but we got a good one here in Fargo. I'm trying to think if I've last time I've been to the mall in Bismarck or the mall in Minot. Feels like when I was at the mall in Minot like maybe 5 years ago, and it seems like I remember that there were a few empty stores there, but not too bad. Bismarck, I think last time I was there was probably 10 years ago, and that one seemed really good at the time. And then Grand Forks, the big mall, was it like Washington something, Washington? I don't know that I've ever been in that one. But I think in our part of the world, malls do pretty well. But two stores are pulling out in Fargo, Francesca's and Eddie Bauer. Now, Francesca's, I don't know a ton about because it's not kind of my store. It's a women's clothing place there. But both those stores, reports the Forum today, are having going out of business sales. And Francesca's has had like some kind of corporate things going on at a high level deal there. They, I think, are closing down everywhere. Eddie Bauer, I don't think, is closing down everywhere, but it looks like they're pulling out of the mall here. So, so you get a good deal on a coat, I guess. So I know some people love Eddie Bauer. They have got some good stuff. I've bought some Eddie Bauer stuff from time to time. So they are, I guess, not doing as well as they wanted to there. So. I thought that was interesting. Okay. Yesterday on the program, we were talking about, or no, maybe it's 2 days ago. I forget when. Yesterday, the day before, we were talking about the fact that 350 people turned out at a Lutheran church in Moorhead for some ICE observation training. And I have sort of been one of these kind of snarky people about this training because all of this is fueled by the I Hate Trump movement. And In fairness to these people, the what do they call them? Constitutional observers, they are taught and trained to just observe what's going on with ICE agents and not to get involved, not to protest, not to do what Preddy or Good did, not like that. But there is this kind of built-in sort of implied distrust like they're doing something wrong. But generally, the people there are being trained to just watch. It's very interesting to me, though, and I said that at the time, to see people coming together in a religious setting, and this is done by a number of pastors kind of put on this training, sort of, you know, implied consent from their church. So this is a religious activity. And I must have made some comment kind of offhanded about, well, you know, those Lutherans, they get a little squishy sometimes about these things. And there's a grain of truth to that in my mind because it feels to me like the Lutheran churches seem to be a little bit more resistant toward what happens with Trump. They don't seem to care anything at all about what the Democrats are doing, which is very interesting to me because sexual identity and abortion and whatever. But I must have said something instead of, you know, thinking it to myself that I do have a little bit running around in my head. And I got a number of people that reacted, some text messages and a couple emails. And I want to read a couple of those for you. And I will start this off by saying I know better than this. If I implied that all Lutherans are the same way, that's my bad because I don't believe that. But it does remind me you got to be careful when you're speaking about our faith system. So got a couple of emails I want to read to you, and I thought it was good because I honestly don't follow. I know there's a lot of variations of Lutheran. I grew up in a Baptist church, and Baptists are kind of Baptists. I guess you have Southern Baptist and Northern Baptist, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of differentiation there. A Baptist is a Baptist for the most part. The Lutheran church seems to be a very, very different thing. So emailer Ken said, Steve, the biggest group of Lutherans in the upper Midwest, including the FM area, by the way, is the ELCA, Evangelical Lutheran Church of America. And that's about 90% of the Fargo-Moorhead area Lutherans. And this is Ken from West Fargo, so Ken seems to know. He goes on to say, they're a merger of the former ALC, the LCA, and the AELC, which I can't tell you what any of those stand for, but they're Lutheran denominations, factions, whatever. Ken says, sadly, they become very socially and doctrinally liberal, but pretty much all the other Lutheran denominations have remained doctrinally and socially biblically based and conservative, including locally the LCMS, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, of which I belong to, not me, but Ken, the emailer, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod, the WELS, the Free Lutherans, the Lutheran Brethren, and several other small Lutheran denominations. If I understood correctly, the United Church of Christ and one of the most liberal Christian churches was planning to host the event in Moorhead, but were too small to host it due to the large number of people interested. So they made arrangements to host it at Trinity Lutheran, which is ELCA, across the street from the UCC, United Church of Christ Church. You may have driven by the small UCC church and noticed their rainbow flag out front. If you want a little more in-depth background on Lutheranism in the area, let's have coffee sometime. So thank you for that, Ken. I appreciate it. It's tough to find time for good conversations like that, but I'm sure it would be interesting. But thank you for the background there. Ken, basically confirming my earlier reporting on this story that there's a lot of Lutheran tentacles there. Is that the right word? Yeah, you know what I mean. A lot of way to do Lutheran church. So I appreciate that, Ken. Thanks for sending that in. I got another email on this subject as well from John. And John said, Steve, I didn't take your comments as an indictment of Lutheranism. But the person who responded to you was correct to say that all who claim to be Lutheran are not under the same banner. The ELCA came into existence about 40 years ago when the ALC dissolved. At that time, they essentially fell out of fellowship with the confessional Lutherans in the LCMS and the WELS. Confessional Lutherans are very conservative and adhere to the Book of Concord and the confessions and creeds, like the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, Augsburg Confession, et al. I found the LCMS several years ago after identifying several biblical inconsistencies in my previous Baptist Evangelical Pentecostal confessions and found the LCMS to be the most accurate biblically adherent church in terms of doctrine statements and practices. The ELCA holds broadly divergent views from confessional Lutheranism, particularly in their statement of faith, which regards Scripture as containing, quote, the Word of God, as opposed to the confessional standard of, quote, is the Word of God. Okay, so a big topic here, and certainly something that is going to draw some strong reactions. So I appreciate that. Reminds me of when I talked about President Trump, when he put out when the Pope had died. They were looking for a new Pope, and somebody made a meme of Donald Trump being the Pope. And Trump reshared it or reposted it. And I said, come on, what are we doing here? This is not something that we make humor about. So I didn't like that at the time. And so I can understand why people get very sensitive on that, and with good reason, right? If you went after my church, I would too. So anyway, well, there you go. I think the bottom line on this whole thing is you're certainly going to find within any large denomination, you're going to find different arms of that faith system or that denomination that look at things differently. And you know what? That's not a bad thing. If you want to, you know, have certain traditions or certain things that are very formal. I grew up in a Baptist church, and we didn't really do any of the, you know, Lent or anything that like was a figure or a statue or something like that. The Baptist church puts like no value on any of that. And so I grew up kind of like, it's just very much, you know, what the Bible says. You try to stay very, very close to that, but you don't put any, you know, like any of the rituals. That's the word I'm looking for. The ritualistic stuff just doesn't mean anything in the Baptist church. And so it's interesting listening to and having learned over the last few years how people that grew up in the Catholic church, how those traditions and the rituals are very, very important. In the Baptist church, you never said the same three words until next year, when you said, I guess, Merry Christmas. But you just did. We didn't get into the recitations, the things where you read or the same thing. And not that either is good or bad or right or wrong, but it is interesting how different the practices are between churches. And certainly within, I'm sure, Lutheran churches, you have a lot of differentiation there between how certain people do certain things. I honestly don't care about any of that. And as I've sort of worked out my salvation with fear and trembling, I think I've said, you know what? It doesn't matter if there's a ritual or if there's a practice or something. If it's biblically rooted, then it makes sense to me and good. And I think maybe growing up, it would have been nice to have a few more of those kind of symbolic things that you do, that kind of traditions, right? I mean, you do the same things. It kind of has an anchor point for your soul a little bit. So I just try to say I guess I'm a Baptist by birth. Now I go to a free church. I don't know what we even call ourselves, freebies. I don't know. We don't really call ourselves much of anything. And there's no, like, the name of the church is not even in the church name anymore, like evangelical church, whatever. You don't even do that much anymore. It's a lot of, you know, Freedom Church or whatever. And maybe that's a good thing too. But I do miss a little bit maybe of some of the traditional things that we have there. So if you got a thought, comment, anything you want to add to that, let me know. Would be glad to hear from you today. 701-271-1100 on the phone line or studio@flagfamily.com. You can also text me at 701-237-1590. All right. Before I get to my next thing, I guess we've got Craig on the line. He would like to jump into the conversation today. Joins us on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line. Hey, Craig.
Well, good morning. I would hope you could get my mayor, Shirley Carlson, on to tell her what, find out what she thought of it all. And when you have a unglued store called Unglued at Brewhalla giving out free whistles, my question is, the only reason you need a whistle is to do more than peaceful protest. That's to interfere. And were they giving out free whistles at the, that night? And that's way more than just peaceful protesting.
Yeah, that sounds different than being a constitutional observer, where you're recording things with your phone at a distance. That sounds like a different deal. Yeah, you know, the noise thing is kind of one of their tactics, and I think it's just to create chaos, which why do you want to create chaos, right? Don't you want your law enforcement, whatever they have to do, even if you don't like what they're doing, don't you want it to be done as quietly and as orderly as possible? But it doesn't feel like that's observing to me. It feels like it's something different, kind of a little no man's land, I guess maybe a gray area there. Craig, thanks for the call. Appreciate you giving a holler there. All right, when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show, so this all got me thinking here about what denominations are typically more willing to put up with things like ICE and things like that. So I've got something of a ranking of the denominations, if you want to call it that. We'll do that when we come back on the Steve Hallstrom Show. I've been talking a little bit about the NDSU women's basketball team. They won their 17th straight last night. They beat Denver 95-55, beat them by 40 on the home floor last night in North Fargo. If you don't have much going on tomorrow, well, maybe even if you do, go check them out. They play at 1 o'clock tomorrow in Fargo against Oral Roberts, which is usually a pretty good game, ORU in there. So 17 in a row. They're 19-2, and they're unbeaten in conference play. It could be a special year for Jory Collins and his team. Fun to see. Bison men having a great year, too, by the way. But the women have got that long winning streak that's pretty amazing. It's been a long time since NDSU women have had that kind of pedigree back to the Amy Ruley days when I was covering the Bison for WDAY-TV. So good job, ladies. Keep it going. All right, so I started doing a little research. I was thinking, okay, what denomination? If we're talking about denominations and religious affiliations, which ones are kind of more likely to go along with ICE and, you know, tough immigration enforcement? Which ones are going to say, talk to the hand? You know, no, well, this is not what we do. Doesn't seem like it should be a religious issue, like a issue of religion at all. But it does seem that certain denominations are much more supportive than others. So I asked, I did a little search on this and asked one of my favorite AI tools to come up with the different denominations and rank them in terms of which ones are generally going to be more willing to support fierce immigration enforcement. So here's what I came across here. And they give the disclaimer, of course. Okay, well, this is like way overgeneralizing, but generally speaking, the most loyal or the most tolerant of this will be white evangelical Protestants. Historically, this group has been the strongest supporters of President Trump's border and immigration policies. Many within this denomination emphasize the biblical mandate to obey civil authorities and uphold national security. Makes sense to me. Number two, then come the Mormons. In second place, the Mormon Church, Latter-day Saints, has often taken a nuanced stance, advocating for a balance between the laws of the land and compassion for immigrant families, particularly given the global nature of their missionary work. Well, now that makes it sound like white evangelical Protestants don't have compassion for immigrant families, and that's not true either. But I get the point. They're maybe a little more pronounced with that. Third, the Catholic Church. The U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops has been a vocal opponent of mass deportations, often citing the need to keep families together. However, a significant portion of the Catholic laity remains divided, with some supporting stricter enforcements. Then come the Baptists. And they say the Baptist denomination is complicated. because these groups show lower support for mass deportation, often citing the direct impact of these policies on their own communities and congregants. Southern Baptists, in particular, have passed resolutions affirming the government's right to secure borders and enforce immigration laws, but they have cautioned against rhetoric that dehumanizes individuals and have historically advocated for a pathway to legal status for those already integrated into communities, particularly the Dreamers. I didn't know that. Methodists are even more complicated, split along denominational lines, primarily between the United Methodist Church and the more recently formed Global Methodist Church. So you got the UMC and the GMC. While both trace their roots back to John Wesley, their institutional approaches to social policy and law and order differ significantly. The United Methodist Church would have a strong opposition to ICE efforts in the United States in 2026. The UMC is generally one of the most vocal religious opponents of mass deportation. Their stance is rooted in social principles, which emphasize protection of human rights and the welcoming of migrants and welcoming the stranger. The UMC officially advocates for policies that provide a path to citizenship and oppose mass enforcement that disrupts families. They view immigration through the lens of sacred hospitality. The Global Methodist Church broke away from the UMC recently. They tend to lean more conservative on social and political issues. While they do not have a loyalty mandate, their approach is noticeably different. The GMC doctrine generally places a higher emphasis on the biblical mandate to submit to the authorities in Romans 13. Consequently, there's often more support within the GMC pews for legal immigration and enforcement of existing laws. And then you get to, of all of the kind of Protestant denominations, then you get to the most liberal, or the most resistant to ICE, and that is what they call the inline Protestants, Episcopal, United Methodist, and ELCA. Well, we talked about United Methodist. But these denominations have largely adopted sanctuary stances, with many local congregations actively opposing deportation efforts through legal aid and temporary housing for those targeted. These denominations do not often directly discuss how biblical doctrine interacts with the, what does it say here? Oh, within the subject matter. So, yeah, I would be interested to hear an ELCA Lutheran talk about how you reconcile that with your biblical beliefs, you know, or law and order and that kind of thing with what's happening with law and order in our country. That would be an interesting conversation. And then finally, the Muslim and Sikh communities, along with the Jewish communities, are ones that tend to be very much opposed to immigration custom enforcement, and they are advocates for refugee protection. So I don't know if all that's exactly accurate, but it seems to make some sense to me. If you got a comment about that, let me know. Hour two of the program and the key three coming up next. You're going to have to forgive me because I should know the answer to this and I don't. But I was thinking about the Melania documentary coming out today, and I see it's playing at West Acres tonight. They have, well, today and tonight, they got a showing at 1:30, 4:10, 6:55, and 9:30. And very interested in that. I hope to go see that here one of these days. And I was thinking about myself, is there a theater in Moorhead anymore? I know they used to have that safari theater, and I think it was like $3 to go see a movie. It was great. But I don't know if it's still there. I think they closed that a while ago, and I'm not sure if there is a theater in Moorhead anymore. So someone help me out with that. Maybe text is easiest, 237-1590. Had a couple of emails over the top of the hour break, too. I think it's the two gentlemen that emailed me yesterday about the Lutheran thing. Heard me talking again. I cannot make these people happy. I'm fine, you guys. It's fine. But one of the guys said, I just want everybody to know. I'm like, people don't know who you are, for God's sake. I just said emailer John and emailer Ken. People don't know who you are, but one of the guys wanted me to just make sure that everybody knows, just because you think one way or another, I'm not talking about if you're saved or not saved or your salvation or whatever. I said, no, nobody ever thought that. Nobody has said that. We were just talking about how certain denominations latch onto certain social issues. That's all that it's about. It's not about your salvation or your place in heaven someday. And then the other gentleman said, okay, now you made it sound like the Lutherans are really ritualistic and Lutherans won't like that. Look, all I'm saying is that Lutherans are more structured, more ritualistic, more formal, whatever, than the Baptists are. That's all I was saying. Because in the Baptist church, you have communion, but you don't even say the same thing at communion. I went to a church yesterday, a Lutheran church yesterday for a funeral, and you had the reading where everybody kind of went back to the same line and said it together. We don't even do that in the Baptist church. So that's all I'm saying. So you please know there's not any attempt here to besmirch anybody's character when it comes to going to church. So there you go on that. All right, it is 8 past the hour here on this beautiful Friday. Beautiful unless you got money in the stock market. Doesn't look very good there right now. Dow is down 314, NASDAQ down 110. And so hopefully we turn things around before the end of the day, but Monday's coming. This market wants to go higher, no question about it. So I imagine this will be a matter of time. It is time for the key three here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. These are what I believe to be the three most consequential stories in the news cycle today. It's brought to you by Dakota Dental Implant, where Dr. Matt Eaton can help you get a full new smile in one day. How about that? Think about medical miracles that we do. Yeah, a lot of us are born with bad teeth. We just are. But boy, they can do an amazing job over there. And in just one day, their passion, training, and technology gets the job done. Dr. Matt has extensive advanced training in implant dentistry. He uses advanced 3D imaging, digital planning, and in-house technology. Each smile is carefully planned before treatment even begins. And many patients are able to walk out the same day with a strong, natural-looking, full smile. A compassionate team, comfortable experience, financing options are available. DakotaImplant.com, DakotaImplant.com. Smile like you mean it with the good folks at Dakota Implant and Sedation Center in Fargo. Coming up in just a couple minutes, we'll be taking another qualifier for Valentine's Day in Vegas. Boy, it's coming up quick. Tuesday, February 3rd, we'll be having the big drawing party. And somebody's going to spend the weekend in Vegas, thanks to the flag and WDAY radio over here. And you're going to get 2 round-trip airfare tickets to Vegas. You get 3 nights hotel. You get tickets to see the Wizard of Oz at the Sphere on Valentine's Day. And just because that's not enough, $500 spending money. How about that? Should be a really, really great time. And we'll be drawing another qualifier here in just a few minutes. Okay, so the what I believe to be the 3 most consequential stories in the news cycle today are Don Lemon getting arrested last night in Los Angeles at a restaurant. This after a couple weeks earlier, he went into a church during a worship service with an angry mob that wanted to insult everybody there and attack the service and the work of the Lord was being done there. So Don Lemon says, I wasn't protesting. I was just being a journalist and covering the event. But the Trump administration has said, you do not attack a church service. And last night they arrested Don Lemon. Now, I don't think this is the same as trotting out Tim Walz in handcuffs for anything that he did wrong or, you know, bringing Joe Biden into custody for anything that he might have done wrong. I don't think it's that. But this would be one of the more visible, high-profile arrests ever been made by any political administration. I guess the one that's going to always be the top of the list is Donald Trump being arrested, charged, all the things that they did with him. But in terms of arrests of people on the left, this is about as high-profile as it gets. Now, he's not a CNN anchor anymore, kind of a disgraced former CNN anchor, actually. But the left will love him again after this happened. And he has been arrested and don't know what the penalties or what the possible sentences or punishment might be in this case. This case was rejected by a Minnesota judge, said there's just no evidence here that he was protesting and did something wrong. So the feds got involved and they said, this is something that you cannot do. You cannot go and violate others' rights to have a church service there. And so there will be, we don't know exactly what the charges are, other than they are federal charges on you know, entering gatherings like this. So don't know what he could do for time. None of that is readily available, at least to me. But Don Lemon has been arrested. Not sure if he's being held in custody or if he was released. Not sure about any of that. But an arrest was made, not just the other eight people they've arrested so far, but Don Lemon now, one of the people arrested there. Story number two, this one makes my heart sink a little bit. After more than 40 years, reports the Forum, Minot's Hustfest is apparently over, at least for now. It had been running since 1978, and it billed itself, and it probably was accurate, that they were the biggest celebration of Scandinavian culture in North America. Concerts and expos and food and all that there. They put out a statement saying, after careful evaluation, the board determined that rising operational costs combined with declining attendance have made it financially unsustainable to continue the event at the scale and quality expected by patrons, artists, and partners. The board of directors and staff will not be conducting interviews or providing further comment at this time. Wow. End of an era. One of those things that if you grew up in Northwest North Dakota and you had some Scandinavian blood, I have to believe that this was kind of your big thing, right? For me, I grew up going to the Minnesota State Fair. We were a farm family, took our pigs down to the State Fair, won a few ribbons here and there. I feel like for a lot of people, and if you're listening out of KTGO today out in Western North Dakota, 271-1100, have you got a memory of a Hustfest? Or what does this mean to you? That Hustfest is no longer a thing. I imagine it's like a lot of these things that, you know, were great and kind of culturally important at one time. Over time, these things maybe fade a little bit. Our aging population is maybe aging out, and we don't have as many people that have that sort of appreciation for Scandinavian heritage. Maybe it's just that things got too expensive. I can tell you that we put on a rock concert over in Grand Rapids, and you know, last year versus this year, the prices that the bands are charging is way higher. There's no 3% inflation there, so I get what they're saying. And you want to be able to have, it's kind of like a cycle, right? If you don't have enough of the right stuff, then people won't want to come. And but in order to have the right kind of stuff, you got to pay a lot of money before you know if people will come. Finally, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said the Trump administration's new Trump Accounts program has surged to roughly 1 million signups so far. So 1 million of these accounts have been set up already. It's only been in place for a couple of days. There's only 330 million people in the country. 1 million have already signed up, one out of every 330. Very interesting. Nicki Minaj, the rapper, apparently had something to do with it. She was there saying this is a great thing, and They're rolling on this thing, so that's crazy. Have you done it? If so, would love to hear from you, kind of what you're doing it for, why, and what you learned by going through the process of setting it up, 271-1100. All right, when we come back on the program, best thing I heard all day, a North Carolina pastor is getting ready for services on Sunday. He says, you better not come and protest here. That's next. It is time to take another qualifier for Valentine's Day in Vegas, the Wizard of Oz. And lots of other good stuff there, thanks to our presenting sponsor, All Sager Meats, as well as Kingpins and Frontier Airlines helping make this all happen. You still have a couple days left to register at am1100theflag.com. And once you've registered, be listening here weekdays during the 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and 4 o'clock hour for your name. And if you hear your name, call 701-271-1100 within 11 minutes, and you will be qualified for the final drawing party. It's going to be going on Tuesday at Kingpins, and we're going to select that winner right around 8 o'clock. You got to be there by, I think it's 6 o'clock there, to make sure that we know that you're there and ready to go. And so it is time now to give you today's qualifier, and it is James Scherer of Fargo, S-C-H-E-R-E-R of Fargo, James Scherer of Fargo. You are today's qualifier, James, so you've got 11 minutes here. So let's say we'll go to 22, so 10:33 will be the deadline there, James. So we hope to hear from you. All Sager Meats, by the way, not only do they have the great steaks and the roasts, all that, but they've got pizzas now. The Carnivore, Creamy Chicken Alfredo, Pepperoni Classic, Signature Supreme. They also have the Chuck Wagon Beans with the ground beef and bacon bits. Carl's Lefse, made in Holly. And Allsogger is the only ones in the Fargo-Moorhead area to carry it. So check them out. Two locations in the metro at Veterans Boulevard and Timber Creek Parkway. And then also in Breckenridge, Minnesota, and Audubon, Minnesota. So James Scherer, let's go. If you know James, whoa! What in the world? That was like a world record right there. James is on the line right now. Addison, can you put him on with us quick? Addison's checking to see. He's like, I don't know. I have to talk to Hallstrom. All right, let's do it. Yeah, James, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Hey, no problem. Every day.
Well, you got that done right away. So, and I appreciate that. So, thanks for registering. Thanks for have you been to Vegas before?
Yes, yes, I have.
Okay,
I would love to go again.
Yeah, who would you take if you won?
Oh, my lovely wife.
Oh, that'd be great. Awesome. Well, why do you like listening to the flag, James?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Have all my thoughts. Everything you speak about, I'm pretty much on ball with you, right on, you know.
We're all lined
up. Yeah, I'm just on board with everything. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'm really glad that you were listening and that we got you qualified, and we'll see you on Tuesday night, and we'll cross our fingers for you that it's a good night for you. I guess I can't say that now because I got to say that about everybody. But somebody's going to have a great time, and it'll be great to see you over there on Tuesday.
All right. Looking forward.
All right. Thanks a lot, James. Take care. Okay. Well, hey, James, he's ready to go. Fantastic. All right. 10:23 here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. It is time for a little segment we started doing when we changed the program from afternoons to mornings. I've been kind of thinking, I always want to do this. And I said, darn it, we're just going to do it. Best thing I heard all day. So the best audio clip that I heard over the last 24 hours. And sometimes it's like, you know, somebody's rendition of the national anthem. Sometimes it's a speech somebody gives. Sometimes it's a joke. Try to have a little bit of fun with this. But generally, it's something where I see either on social media, online, maybe watching some TV, and I'm like, that was really good. And I thought this one was really good today. Bishop Patrick Wooden Sr. is the founder and senior pastor of the Upper Room Church of God in Christ in Raleigh, North Carolina. He saw what happened in St. Paul a couple Sundays ago at the city's church, and he says, just want you to know, if you want to come around here stirring up trouble, measure twice, cut once.
When a day, y'all see when them people invaded that church the other day? Now, I just want to say to protesters and all of them, Don't do that here. Amen. Don Lemon, don't come here. You roll up in this church doing stuff like that, and it's going to be the Royal Rumble. And the funny thing is, I'm not joking. We have worked hard. We built the church in the name of the Lord. We dedicated it to the Lord. It's built for worship. Our blood, sweat, tears, and finances are in this place. And some people who have never darkened the door of a church and never contributed one dime to it gonna roll up in here and disturb our service and scare our children and shout obscenities in the church. That will not stand in this church. That will not stand. That's not going to stand. Right? Amen. So I thought I'd bring that up just in case there's somebody out there who is thinking, amen, that's not going to stand.
Oh, it's not going to stand at that church. Pastor Wooden is not going to have any of that. Fantastic. I just thought I'd play that for you. I had a big smile on my face there. I hope that other pastors say the same thing. And the church I go to, there's a number of people that are armed during the church day. And I've never felt unsafe or worried. In fact, the opposite is true. And you better know where you're walking into. You do that in North Dakota, where we're good Second Amendment faith, family, freedom folks, and it might not go well for you. So hopefully, we don't have any more of those kind of Sunday interruptions. So thank you, Pastor Wood, and good stuff there. All right, I've got a chance here to hit some text messages. We typically get a ton of texts, and I don't usually get around to getting to all of them. So let's do that here while we got a couple minutes for the bottom of the hour here. Steve, it would be great if local businesses would organize to support ICE in the same way that some are closing to protest. My guess is they would see a huge lift in business. Also, at some point, supporters of ICE need to organize and have rallies to support enforcement of laws. The noise always seems to come from one side. Yeah, that's so well said. I don't know. I imagine one of the things that the liberals are good at doing is scaring good, honest, humble, hardworking people. They just are. It's most of us don't walk around with that kind of, you know, F you and F ICE and, you know, bleep this and bleep that and spitting. And I mean, these people, it's like they're demon possessed, some of them. And so I think a lot of businesses are like, look, I'd probably like to come out and say that, but I don't want that here. I don't want to be a lightning rod here. So, you know, if Steve Scheel comes out and says, I just want everybody to know we're going to, you know, we say the protesters, whatever, and we support ICE and we support law enforcement. I don't know. It's easy to say, oh, you should stand up and be proud and be willing to, you know, take some inconvenience. But the way these people do things, you have no idea what these people are going to do. They're just unhinged that way. And I know you can't live that way in fear, but look, it's it's easy to say. But when you're in those shoes, that's a little tougher. So thanks for that. I agree. I would love to see somehow businesses coming around to support that. I think a lot of us do that on social media. We try to do it here on our shows, but it's a tricky one to walk. And then you got some customers that you're going to lose customers too. I don't know if these businesses, most of them that I hear are doing these kind of close downs or whatever. It seems like a lot of them are kind of really niche-y anyway, and don't know if there's a lot that they're going to lose. We'll see. All right, Steve Allsman Show back after this. We are blessed here at Fieldstone Group Flag Family Media to have some unbelievable professionals that contribute some great product expertise to us, and one of them is our Ag Director, Bridget Riedel, joins us each Friday at this time to give us a catch-up on some of the big stories going on in the ag world. Miss Bridget, how are you doing today?
Fabulous, Steve, and I hope you are as well.
Yeah, I'm inside today, so that's good, although I like looking outside because it's a beautiful day out there. We could warm it up a little bit, but I guess that's coming, though. I heard Dino say 30s maybe next week, so we'll take that.
It will be lovely outside in the sunshine, and I did say outside. So if you're moving cattle, hauling grain, those types of things, it won't be quite so blistering cold when you need to get those things done.
Yeah, it sounds like this is, I guess I just have never paid much attention since I've been up in North Dakota here, but apparently this is a time of year when there are a lot of guys that are hauling a lot of corn to the elevator.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, once you are in the throes of harvest, you just don't have the time and the labor to get everything hauled in immediately. Sometimes it's faster to just store. Also, if you're waiting for a change in price, you might not want to make that run to the elevator just for a cash price. And if you've got to deliver on contracts, you may get the call after the first of the year to start delivering those, whether it's to your soybean crush plant, your ethanol plant, your local grain elevators, filling a train, whomever that might be. So we do move a lot of grain in the winter months here.
You have a number of things that you said you'd wanted to visit about today, and the first one is opportunities for U.S. agriculture in Venezuela. Tell us about this. Venezuela, we've been hearing a lot about,
right?
But it's mostly been oil and what happened to the Trump administration taking a strong hand there. So tell us about how U.S. ag might help get helped out with this.
Well, we might think that this sounds a little unusual that we consider Venezuela, especially when they're in South America. And you realize Brazil and Argentina are such big producers of agricultural products. Wouldn't it be easier and cleaner with transportation costs to work within that continent? But U.S. ag stakeholders really see opportunities for a couple of different areas. One of them is U.S. rice. Rice is not a predominantly grown grain in South America, although South American farmers have made mention, and this is especially in Brazil, that they would stop growing as many soybeans if they could take over rice, So far, we still have that rice market, which that would be a real positive for our rice production in states like Arkansas, Louisiana, etc. Those folks are just getting hammered financially this year. I had a friend who's a grower in Arkansas tell me it was his best year in rice, and as far as yield is concerned, and he lost the most money because there was just not a market for that crop. Additionally, Venezuela looks to wheat as another area to gain market share. It sounds like the U.S. Will deal a blow not only to Russia, but also Turkey's political influence in that country because of trade ties the U.S. has with Venezuela. Now, and with our recent political steps in the country of Venezuela, that could give us a little bit stronger foothold there. Venezuela also may be looking to us for yellow corn because that country is trying to revive its livestock industry. We are already the leading supplier of beef and dairy cattle genetics to Venezuela. So if we could follow that up with feed, that would be tremendously important as well. We have resumed shipping live cattle to Venezuela in 2024 after a 7-year pause, but that was really only starting with about 30 head. There's a long way to go after that. It wasn't huge at this point.
Yeah, I did not. I was just looking it up as you were talking about it. I didn't. Two things I didn't realize. Number one, I guess for whatever reason, I just had never heard much about the U.S. being a rice producer. But
yes,
apparently we are. So
California is actually our biggest rice production state.
Okay. Huh. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess you always think of rice being part of like Chinese dishes or something. And so maybe it's good to know. It makes sense. And I'm sure we got a good climate for it. The other thing I didn't know is that Venezuela has a lot of cattle. They've got about 15 million head of cattle over there, over 100,000 farms. Venezuela is not a huge country. That's a lot of cattle.
It's a lot of head for their landmass, and they're looking for slightly different genetics because I think all countries do that. There's a reason why we see importations from Europe for some of our cattle. No doubt. One of them might be considered a toy, the cute little fluffy Highlander cows, but we've also seen more British whites. We got the Galloway breed into the U.S. Decades ago just by that, and Limousine came from France. So there's a constant changeover of breeds that are indigenous, if you will, to that particular country, but those traits can be useful in other areas, climate, etc., and they move around. Venezuela is ranked as our 34th most important export market for the U.S. Perhaps that could climb. And nobody says we have to make them number one, but by all means, there's opportunity there for some of our products that would be very important. Rice and wheat, numbers one and two.
Interesting. Oh, you said British whites, and I thought that might be a section on a wine menu somewhere. You know, interesting British whites, but that's a cattle breed. I learn something every day. And I grew up on a hog and cattle farm, so here I am learning from Bridget on this today. Hey, have you been following much? So the president said, in order to get beef prices down, we want to look at bringing in beef from, I think it was Argentina, and bringing in some there just to drive prices down. Of course, our ranchers don't love that.
Right.
So it's a kind of mix there. Do you know where that stands right now?
You know, it's been sort of quiet on that front since the initial bombshell, you might say. And it really just looked like bad optics in the timing. Mm-hmm. Here's some things, though, to think about when it comes to Argentina. They're going to be able to export to us roughly 3% of our overall needs. So how much of an impact is that? Not a very big one.
No.
We have trading partners right here in North America, as far as Mexico and Canada, that would be much more favorable. I think right now with Canada, there's still some concerns over tariffs, et cetera, that make it tough to bring Canadian cattle down from some feedlots. Overall, with Mexico, we still don't have our border open because of the potential for New World screwworm. With any luck, this cold weather snap that went as far down as into the boot of Texas, maybe we froze off some of those flies and we have a lot less concern about bringing them up. And having this conversation with some producers over the weekend, the bottom line really comes to the fact that we just don't have enough head. We went through some times of drought in this country. We saw low cattle prices, a number of herd reductions, and you just can't start bringing back calves that quickly. It's not like turning on the spigot being able to process or can an item to hit the grocery store shelf.
There was a big expo earlier this week with Animal Ag here in Fargo. Did you go to that?
I was the MC at the North Dakota Livestock Summit.
Yeah, of course.
I was.
Okay, so give me a big takeaway there. As a kid who grew up on a hog and cattle farm, I love these stories. And I mean, North Dakota, we got all this land, but we don't do much with animals here yet. So out west we do, but like a big part of the central and eastern part of the state, there's just not that much animal ag here. What kind of are people talking about with that?
So one of the speakers was a lady by the name of Michelle Payne, and she is a huge ag advocate. She has a dairy background from Michigan. She currently lives in Indiana, wrangling kids and cows as well. And she talked about, what do consumers really want to hear from us in the livestock industry? Let me just pose this question to you first. How many products do you believe are at the grocery store on the shelf every day? What's that number?
Oh, my.
Any idea?
How many products are on the shelf in a grocery store?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the big grocery stores, like your big, you know, Cashwises or whatever, Hornbachers, I'm going to say 20,000.
40,000.
Oh, okay.
So when you go to the store, think about the decisions you have to make.
Yeah.
What do consumers really want to know? Well, they don't want food bullying. They don't want to see stickers that are misleading, things that might say GMO free and it's on a bottle of water.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
That's silly. But that's what's happened. And as a reminder to all of us, whether we're in agriculture and as consumers going to the grocery store, when you do want to do your research, when you want to know where your food comes from and what it contains, and you use AI, Google, whatever it might be, check your sources, because often they're written by activists who want to prevent you from making that choice, whether it's with fresh meats, proteins, or dairy products, etc. And they are willing to spread lies and have food bullying stats to do it. So check those sources.
Can't there be anything easy anymore, Bridget? Why does everything have to be a fight? My word.
I would agree with that, because she just made great points about the fact that we can talk about the science behind what we do. And you know what? Someone at the grocery store just wants to know, is this safe to eat? Is it healthy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm on board.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the bottom line. And
well,
frankly, I shop like that too.
Well, and we'd all like to buy all this stuff where, like, you take a look at a tomato.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what you got there. I mean, I guess it could be like an organic tomato, or it kind of you could have had some chemicals to grow it. But you got a tomato, or if you see a steak, you know what you got there. But there are a lot of things in the grocery store. You're like, I don't really know what's in there. But the things that you know exactly what they are, those are the expensive things. That's the problem with the whole deal.
And they certainly can be. And we're going to see where some of this food policy may change after the announcement of the new dietary guidelines that were brought out by USDA and Health and Human Services.
Well, I think there is a huge opportunity with animal ag in North Dakota. And I don't know what the state can do, but we've got a lot of land. Even when they build data centers and windmills and whatever, you can still have cattle around there, for gosh sake. So, or pig farms or chickens or whatever. It'd be fun to see this state kind of say, you know what, we've got the resources, we got the land, and let's get really good at getting more animals growing across the state. I think it'd be fun.
North Dakota as a whole is in favor, particularly governmentally with Department of Ag, etc. Our greatest hurdle to bringing large livestock operations into the state, because we have a ton of food stuff here for them, and we're just shipping it out of state. But the greatest hurdle we have in state is not in my backyard. But we have such great room for these operations to happen, so we have less concerns with biosecurity. We've got the food here, whether it's distillers grains, soybean meal, sugar beet tailings, such a diverse diet for those animals, and we really could become a powerhouse. South Dakota is sort of kicking us in this situation, you guys. And, well, I don't like that.
Yeah, well, no doubt. Yeah, go Bison, right?
Right.
Yeah, so the thing about it is, I know that it feels like, okay, this is close to me. It might impact water. I might have some manure smell or whatever, but you say not in my backyard, but we got enough room out here. We're not really in anybody's backyard.
And nobody is just picking a place with a dart on a map and say, yep, we'll go there. There is so much work that is done to make sure that things happen and are done the correct way. When people worry about manure spills, breaches, et cetera, you rarely hear that, because we're doing a great job of managing it on the front end.
Yes, we are. Bridget, I could talk to you all day. Thanks for the intel. Thanks for the information, the perspective, as always. You have a great weekend, my friend. Talk to you soon.
You as well.
The one and only Bridget Riedel, Ag Director, here on the Steve Hallstrom Show. When we come back, President Trump says, Kevin Warsh is my guy, but who is Kevin Warsh? And my man Charles Payne has got some really interesting perspective about how Donald Trump is not getting enough credit for what's happening with the economy here. That's next. I had the good folks at Vision Ford Lincoln in Wahpeton do an oil change for me the other day. And I said, how do I get it down to you in Wahpeton? Because I'm in Fargo. They said, oh, we'll come to you and do it. And sure enough, Landon from Vision Ford Lincoln comes up and does the oil change in my parking lot. They got a mobile unit that goes around. And it comes up to Fargo, more at West Fargo, wherever. And they do oil changes on location. Amazing. Not a drop of oil spilled on the parking lot, the ground of the parking lot. And it took him a while. He said, my hands got a little cold, so it took me a little while because my fingers needed to warm up a little bit. I said, I believe it. But amazing. They came and did it, and it took about, I don't know, about an hour or so, and they were on their way, and my car was ready to go. While I was inside working, I sat and watched, waved to him a couple of times from the controlled climate of my office. Amazing. Vision Ford Lincoln, they're just looking for ways to do it different to make sure you have an exemplary customer service experience. They don't make just buying the car, truck, or SUV easy. They make the service easy as well. You're going to love them, too. Go to drivewithvision.com, drivewithvision.com. President Trump has done more in 1 year when it comes to economic accomplishment than a Joe Biden presidency could have given us in 100 years. The deregulation, the president, I think the other day he said for every law or rule they've put in, they've taken out like 25 or something like that. Their mandate is 1 in 10, and they're doing more than that as well. One big beautiful bill extending the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and all the stuff about, tax breaks on overtime tips and all that, the Trump accounts we've been talking about. Eliminating the federal taxes on Social Security benefits as well. There's that. The tariffs, I know that was controversial, but it has not generated any inflation. It hasn't. They've tried really hard to find it. They can't. And we were told that this was a certainty it was going to happen and we're going to bankrupt the economy. And oh, by the way, we've got $200 billion. What is it now, like $3 trillion of investment coming from foreign countries and U.S.-based companies that are bringing manufacturing, things like that, back home? GDP growth, 4.3% in quarter three. They're looking at 5.4 maybe in the fourth quarter. Stock market's at an all-time high. 650 private sector jobs were created last year. Before that, that was all government jobs. There were no private sector jobs being created. It's been an amazing run. Charles Payne, who is one of my favorite followers on social media, I do love his show as well. I like watching Making Money with Charles Payne when I can sneak it in on a lunch break. And he said, we're seeing all these amazing things happen. But he said, you think that Donald Trump was doing just the opposite of the way people talk about him?
This is normal when you have a second-term president for approval ratings to be the same. We saw Barack Obama's were less than Donald Trump's at this point. Right. But do you think we work in the news business, so we're reporting these stories all the time. We've seen how Donald Trump has ended so many different conflicts around the world.
This is Ainsley Earhart on Fox and Friends, by the way.
We've seen what he's done for Iran, for Israel and for Gaza. We saw Iran, the nuclear attacks. We saw Maduro. We're also seeing things internally. Do you think that it's just because a lot of these people that are polled are not watching or not knowing exactly what's happening like we do?
This is the greatest anti-president campaign in history, particularly last year, into the tariffs. Yeah. There were some polls that people were more afraid of the tariffs, and they thought the consequences would be more dire than after 9/11. COVID, which at the time we were like, this is a 100-year, you know, this only happens once a century. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all going to die.
Let me stop right there. Are you kidding me? I'm not doubting what he's saying, but people were more scared about tariffs than they were of COVID in some surveys? Boy, this should be a reminder, because now all those people have said, oh, tariffs, including Jerome Powell, who we look to be the voice of reason in all these things. Oh, no, tariffs, it's going to be inflationary, and it's going to be a problem, and everything's going to cost more, and you're not going to be able to afford anything, and the store shelves will nobody will be able to go to the store. So the businesses and the wholesalers, they'll be overloaded with product. And they were all wrong. They were all wrong. All of those people who told you how horrible this was all going to be. They were wrong. And you know what? There's no consequences for them. But It was, like Charles said, it was an entire establishment really ganging up against the president.
The great financial crisis, that's how much fear and anxiety was stoked out there. And so amazing. And this is from Bloomberg yesterday. They show this chart. The stock market at an all-time high. So, you know, you pull back one day, and the stories about, is American exceptionalism over? Mm. These stories just proliferate. They explode. Right. It's nonstop. Everywhere you look, almost every news source folks look at, you know, the end of America, you know, there's a huge campaign. So people are going to have to feel it more in their personal lives. And then the messaging has to come through on the other side as well.
All right. You have a busy day today.
Yeah.
And then they go on to talk about the show that he's got coming up. But the greatest anti-president campaign in history. All right, so this is where we need to be good and better, is that we need to remember this so that next time these things come along, and I think we do a pretty good job of this, we say, okay, wait a minute. We've got the receipts from last time. So let's hold each other accountable on this, me to you, you to me. And if you hear me starting to talk about, like, well, I don't know, this, you can say, hey, Hallstrom, remember? And I might need you to do that every once in a while. I say, you know, you're right. Good call on that. So, Charles Payne, the best ever. All right, that'll do it for the show today. Thank you, my friend, for being with me on the program today. Going to be another chilly weekend, but going to start to warm up Sunday and Monday. Boy, we need it, right? Have a great day, a great weekend. Keep on flying that flag. Stay tuned. Scotty's next.